from the capital city of the state of Oregon, it's Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you. Hello, friends. Glad to be hanging out with you on this 31st day of March. Can you believe it already? The last day of March. Oh, my goodness. I'm Stacy Ann, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you with news that you can use. And boy, there is quite a bit of news that we can get to this morning. But first, I want to say thanks to Bill Sunderland, Country Financial Sunderland Agency, for being our morning show sponsor. If you need insurance, get a hold of Bill, sunderlandagency.com. His phone number, 503-885-0780. Taking a look at a little bit of the news around the round robin, I like to call it. First of all, Safe Air Network, brought to you by Safe Air Network. If you're not a part of the Safe Air Network, I encourage you to do so. Why not bring clean, safe air to your air and surfaces in your home, school, office, wherever you go that there's air? Find out more about it, safeairnetwork.com. Did you hear this news item? It's been making the headlines around the internet anyway. The Million Maskless March. Yep. And mask burning. Say that fast five times. In Florida. Yep, it's coming up. In fact, they're going to have a fed up Floridians. I'm having a hard time this morning. Is calling for a million state residents to march on April 10th to mark the date with a celebration of freedom. You're invited to attend Million Maskless March and Mask Burning Saturday, April 10th, 3 p.m., the corner of A1A and Los Olas in Fort Lauderdale. So that sounds like an interesting event. And I know several Florida folks who are really excited to celebrate their governor, who has continued to stand up for liberty and fighting for our values. And speaking of that, I want to encourage folks, don't forget, this Friday is our opportunity. It's the deadline to let right here in Oregon, OSHA, know how we feel about their idea of making the mask a permanent feature in Oregon. In as far as employers having to make sure that their employees wear masks. And so we want to continue to let them know by email. And I put a link up on our Facebook page. I also want to let you know this. This came in as a press release in my email yesterday. And the Oregon Health Policy Board, which I think this is when they're evaluating these new policies, will be meeting by Zoom April 6th. So you want to put this on your calendar, and I'll put a link to this as well up on our Facebook page. Oregon Health Policy Board meets April 6th via Zoom, 8:30 a.m. to noon. This is a virtual meeting, and the public can join remotely or a conference line. And so I'll put the link to this as well. And I think if we can inundate them, can you imagine if we have 10 to 20,000 people join this Zoom meeting that day? That would be phenomenal to show, hey, not only have we sent our email, but we're going to attend this conference when you're making these new guidelines. And again, the interesting thing about all of this is it's bureaucrats, right? They're making policy and they're making laws without going through the way it's supposed to. We have elected officials that are supposed to represent us, and these folks are making these rules, much like the CDC, right, nationally making these guidelines and rules. And what better way for you and I to get trained up and understand what our Oregon constitutional rights are and our U.S. constitutional rights by going to a class that'll be It'll have the second class tonight. It's called Liberty First University right here in Salem, Oregon at the River Church at 7 p.m. And we are learning. Last week it was incredible, and you can still join us. It's not too late to join. Now, what would be really good is if you can send me an email that you want to go, and I can send you the link to get registered. Send me an email, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at KSLM.news, and I'll get you all the details, and we'll get you all registered as well. Then in the headlines here in Oregon is another one that I think is something we got to keep our eye on. And this was also featured as well in the Northwest Observer, but there is an ODOT employee who's suing the union. Yes, invokes racketeering provisions. Yep, Stacy Trees isn't the first Oregon public employee to file suit against her union over its refusal to grant her an opt-out request. Nor is hers the first instance of the union clearly forging a signature on a membership form so it can continue to, so this is just troubling to me on many, many levels. And so this lawsuit was filed Monday, March 29th in the U.S. District Court in Eugene by the Freedom Foundation, a national nonprofit watchdog organization specializing in public sector union abuses. So I do think this lawsuit against the Service Employees International Union 503, the Oregon Department of Administrative Services, and its director, Katie Koba, as defendant. So we'll keep an eye on this as it moves along. I do think that's an interesting aspect that they would, you know, have an opportunity to opt out and then they'd continue on as if she didn't. I don't know. That sounds really troubling and suspect to me. And then there's also an interesting article as well, is 8 of the 9 female district attorneys from across Oregon released a joint statement accusing Senate and House Democrats of proposing bills that would threaten the safety of Oregonians. And this is a really good article. I'm going to put this as well on our Facebook page so you can read a little more about it. It's interesting when they're passing laws and moving things through, when it no longer people see the safety issue, and it's not a Republican or a Democrat issue. It really is about the safety of Oregonians and really doing what you say you're going to do. It's one thing to say one thing and then completely do another. And really, we all know this since we were kids, right? Actions speak louder than words. And it is an interesting season that we're walking in. And everywhere I talk to people, not only here in Oregon, but across the United States, there's a lot of hopelessness, I feel. I feel like there's a lot of hopelessness. There's a lot of people that are like, I just don't know when the light is going to come at the end of the tunnel. I don't know where we go from here, which we've been asking that question for a while now. And now that we hear rumors through the mainstream media that, oh, another wave, another COVID wave and more lockdowns, you know, it's like, when will this end, right? And so, again, we need to stand strong in not complying, and we need to stand strong in knowing what our liberties are. And if we can't define our liberty, we can't defend it. So doing our part, knowing what we can do and telling our friends and family, you know, get to these classes. Let's get geared up with the information and news that we can use so we can be proactive. And if we do stand strong and say, nope, we're not complying, we have the facts on our side and we can accurately talk about it. And I just want to say to you, friends, that in this season, it's important that we acknowledge the people in our lives that are going the extra mile, that are being, in a sense, good neighbors. And that really hit me last week at the Liberty First University. She really talked about, and when I say she, Chris Ann Hall is the trainer, and we've had her here. ChrisAnnHall.com is her website, and she and her husband, JC, have a daily journal, which they kind of update on the headline news and talk about how it threatens our liberty and what we can do about it, and it's really, really helpful. But she talked about, really, the bottom line is that we need to be good neighbors. In this time and season, we need to not only defend our own liberty, but also our neighbor's liberty. And we need to look for ways to be inspiring and helpful and hope-filled. And I love that about that. And so I came away from that meeting like, I think we need to start something here at KSLM. And I think we need to start taking a recommendations from you all on good neighbors. If you see someone in the community that has done a neighborly thing, a good neighbor thing, I want you to start nominating them. I want you to send, and we're going to have a good neighbor of the month, and we're going to honor those folks for what they're doing, just doing their normal thing, being a good neighbor. I want to honor and highlight, and maybe that's a way we can spread some hope and some encouragement. And I am so excited to have in the studio with me today our first award winners of the Good Neighbor Award. They don't even know it yet. Andrew and Trina Perkins, they're in the studio with me this morning. And you two are first recipients of a Good Neighbor Award. Congratulations.
Thank you, Ms. Stacy.
And because I am, this is my show.
Yeah.
And I have been a recipient of your neighborly gift to me as last month or the beginning of this month, I think it was. I was in a situation where Terry was out of town and I had a flat tire, and you guys rose to the occasion and you came and assisted me, and I so certainly appreciate that. And so I want to honor you not only for what you have done in the short time I've known you in my life and inspired me, but what you do day in, day out in so many lives. It just makes sense that you would be the lead in the Good Neighbor Award. So what does that mean? What do you win? Ding, 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 ding. What do you get? Well, Miss Trina, you have a gift certificate at The Trunk, which is a resale boutique of my friend Rebecca. She is at downtown in Salem, so we'll help her with her little business. She's right there on High Street. So, and she has a really good deal. You have a gift certificate there waiting for you, and she has a buy one, get one free deal right now. So that's even, it's like, and jewelry and all kinds of fun stuff. So you'll get a little pampering there. And then Terry and I would like to take you both out to dinner. We have a gift certificate for the Honky Tonk Barn Grill. So if you guys want to come and meet Diana and the gang there with us. So,
that sounds fun.
So we'll take you out to dinner as well. And
Amen.
So thank you for being a great neighbor. And thank
of
you.
Course.
You didn't even know this was coming.
No.
I invited you to come on the air. So you two are such a gift to the community. And I'm excited for our listeners to learn a little more about us, about you and what you do here in the community. Andrew, talk to us a little bit. We'll start with you and then we'll bring Trina in.
All right. Sure. Well, thank you, first of all, for the opportunity, Stacey Ann. You know, appreciate getting to know you and getting to know members of the community that we have been through the Freedom Business Fellowship at the church and through the Chris Ann Hall event. You know, we have brought a lot of people in that are new, that but yet what we discover is, you know, Rebecca, their axe maker down at the Trunk, she grew up, her family has property in the neighborhood where Trina grew up.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Oh, what a bonus.
Yeah.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Small world, isn't
it? Yeah, exactly. So anyhow, you know, it's neat to be able to make connection in that way and you know, to be able to get to know people and to be able to share, you know, your heart, really, is what it comes down to. We've been going to the River Church there for not quite 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we came there, actually. I came to the River Church looking for the Celebrate Recovery program.
Great.
You know, I had an addiction in my life with pornography. And it had came to a point where we had police at our door, you know. And so, you know, when they leave and with all of your electronic equipment and say, we'll be in touch, you know, it's quite a shock. You know, my wife is looking at me across the room, you know, with disbelief. She had no idea what was going on, you know.
Mm.
It was, an internet search and problem that had been in my life, you know, started 10 years old, you know, a little boy finding a magazine in his neighbor's bathroom cupboard, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing is that what can happen in our lives, you know, and what we just don't realize is that if we give place to selfishness and not neighborly love,
right,
then there can be a seed or a start of, you know, for me, it was, you know, that same year, actually, when I found that magazine in my neighbor's cupboard, that year was actually the year I first received Jesus, you know.
Oh, interesting. Interesting timing.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, right.
Interesting timing. Well, I want to hear more about Celebrate Recovery and a little bit more about you, Trina, and how you ended up at the River Church and how you ended up being on the pastoral staff. That's quite a journey, I'm sure. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, hanging out with Andrew and Trina today. And you, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back after this.
Hey, yeah, you. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann. Glad to be hanging out with you. It's a wonderful day indeed. In fact, 43 degrees already, and today it's going to get up almost to 70 degrees. I can't hardly believe that. It's about time. It's springtime, and so we need that better weather for sure. And we're continuing the conversation this morning. And, you know, I have been so blessed by the river and the church, and I didn't realize that we had a church that never closed during the pandemic. And actually, during the pandemic, pandemic, it actually expanded, right? You moved into a bigger location and all of that. Talk us through a little bit about that. So right as COVID was happening last spring, a year ago, what was going on and how did you transition? Go ahead.
Yeah, so we, our church, well, it never closed, and we started just business as usual, and then Pastor did put some precautions in place where we were, you know, only had 25 per room and that kind of thing for, I don't know, maybe a couple months.
Yeah.
And then he just drew the line and he was like, we're done.
Yeah.
And, you know, just because people still were going up and hugging each other the entire time, loving on each other. And so at that point, we continued on. But what happened was this, our lease was about to expire and someone came in and they wanted the building.
Oh boy.
And so I think they gave us 30 or 60 days.
Yeah. And we knew that we were outgrowing the old building.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was actually perfect for that time because we had a bunch of smaller rooms. And so we were able to, you know, kind of separate out and we had Cat 5 cords so we could do a video stream in the other rooms and everything. But anyhow.
It all worked out well. And it wasn't that far away that you moved, right?
Just no.
And we knew
across
where
the street.
We wanted to go.
Yeah. Was that kind of where you wanted to be?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
They've been working on trying to get that place for a couple of years.
Oh, I love it. So it's next to Harbor Freight in a strip mall, more or less, right? It's like a mall building that you're being able to.
It's the old Kmart.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it was the Kmart building.
Oh, it was the Kmart building. Wow. How incredible is that? And I know, I mean, when I go in there, it's like, I didn't realize how new you were all in there and all the great work that's been done since you've been there. Yeah. And the other thing that I notice, and this is something that I always look for when I'm church shopping and when I move into a new, like I move from South Dakota to Arkansas and then from Arkansas to here. So when I mean church shopping, it's not like, oh, they offended me and I'm shopping for a new church. No, when I'm in a new community, I like to see people engaged in the process. And a compliment to you, what I can tell already is you have many people, many hands make the work light, right? You have many hands, many people involved. So 3.5 years ago, you go, you find Celebrate Recovery. What is that? What is Celebrate Recovery?
It is a 12-step Christ-based recovery program.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the one and only higher power is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's where you find freedom and healing.
Yeah. And the beautiful thing about Celebrate Recovery, which I know because I have friends that have been not only leaders in it, but have found their healing through that, is that it's hang-ups. What is hurts, hang-ups?
Hurts, habits, and hang-ups.
Yeah.
Hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Yeah. And
what's the percentage?
Only 1 in 3 people have an addiction.
That are in the program.
So even me, I mean, I went in not having an addiction.
Right.
You know, we were socially drinking, you know, but we were still, to me, it wasn't a problem.
Right.
You know, it was just, you know, on weekends and going out and having fun. But going in there, I realized what I did see is that anyone we told what had happened, you know, with Andrew's addiction, there's not one person that didn't say, I've suffered from that too.
Right.
You know, men and women. And so it was just knowing that we weren't alone, I think, at the time.
Right.
And then starting to build those relationships with people and just loving people through it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So the program, for people that aren't aware, it came out of Pastor Rick Warren down at Saddleback Church like 30 years ago now, John Baker, who just passed away like a month ago.
Oh, wow.
He had helped write the curriculum or whatever. But what's very interesting about it is that, you know, they have a structure so that it's the same no matter where you go. They have it set up within their Celebrate Recovery inside within prisons. And so when people come out of prison, they can go right into a Celebrate Recovery in a church. And it's just like the way it was in prison.
Right.
And so there's somewhere where they can go that's safe and make connections and have accountability and everything, you know. But it's you can tailor it to your flavor of your church, you know.
Right.
So you flow in the Holy Ghost, you know, in your church. You do that in the meetings, you know. And and the wonderful thing is the curriculum, it's the same like when you do the step studies, which we do have step groups open right now, probably for another couple weeks. We just started a new step group
again
for people that are interested.
Right.
We, you know, we always want to let people know that we meet in person and do that, you know.
That's good.
So
I was really concerned, honestly, because I have friends locally here that are in recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really concerned, and they were very engaged in the step process and going to face-to-face meetings. And their addiction was hidden. It wasn't going out to the bars and getting a DUI and that kind of thing. It was at the home.
Mm-hmm.
And here, all of a sudden, they're homebound.
Right.
And a Zoom isn't going to cut it, right?
No.
So to know that you're meeting and you're having the interaction, because there's power in that accountability, right?
Right, exactly.
With one-on-one. And when you're feeling alone and isolated, that's where people tend to get hung up, you know, honestly.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the enemy tries to cause havoc. And so...
Yeah.
So can anybody join these groups? I know you got a new 12-step group starting, what nights do you do, or what times do you do the Celebrate Recovery?
Yeah, so Friday night at 6 is the step group.
Yeah, men and women, and then Monday at 10, there's a women, or 3:30, there's a women's group open, and Wednesdays at 10, I believe there's another women's group
that's just
opening.
Oh, that's awesome.
That'll be brand new.
Okay.
And they can go just to the River Church, and they could send an email, or they could give the River Church a call and ask
Andrew or me. Well, I do think that's so instrumental in people's lives, and I want to talk a little bit to our listeners. If you're feeling isolated, or you're feeling maybe your issue is you just can't let the Oreos go, right? You're eating to fulfill a need. I mean, it's hurts, hang-ups, and all kinds of behaviors that tend to get in the way or stumbling blocks.
Yeah.
There's a group of folks that are also facing these things, and you can get together with them and learn how to overcome these difficulties in our lives. And that's why I'm so thankful to have Andrew and Trina here at this time. It's no mistake. We'll continue the conversation after this. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM.
Hello, good morning. How you doing?
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new
good morning to you, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann, hanging out with you today. Oh, it's going to be a great day, friends. I'm really excited. About 67 degrees. Currently, it's 43 here at the KSLM studio. Wonderful spring day ahead of us to enjoy. And tonight, I want to invite you personally again to Liberty First University at the River Church. And this is Chris Ann Hall's training. And I think, Pastor Andrew and Trina, I think it's about, 15 weeks long or whatever. It's several weeks, isn't it, the training?
And she also puts out new training every, I think, 17 weeks or something.
Incredible.
And so we're thinking by the time that's done,
we'll just have our own institute. We'll have our own Salem Liberty Institute, right? I think that's pretty incredible. So, friends, if this is something you want to go to, we really encourage you to say yes and just come. 7 o'clock tonight. Of course, it would be nice to know that you're coming. We're planning accordingly. Send me an email, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at KSLM.news. Also, we'll put on your calendar coming up this month. Of course, tomorrow's the first day of April. I cannot believe that. Time has gone so fast.
Mm.
But the Safe School Summit is April 24th, and this is going to be a great time to gather. If you're concerned about kids and education, K-12, and regardless if it's private school, public school, homeschool, whatever, we need to be in the know. And there's some great speakers like Tina Griffin I've had as a guest here. She's a counterculture mom. She's going to be there in person and talking to us and equipping us. We're going to have some school board candidates there. We're going to have a great, great lineup. In fact, we're going to be doing some interviews here in the next couple weeks of some of the people coming to speak. Get registered, because there's only so many people that can come. So go to parentsrightsandeducation.org and get registered today. And then I was just talking with you guys about baseball. We got baseball coming up right around the corner. May 13th is the very first baseball game at the Volcano Studio Stadium. I'm in the studio. Stadium is where the baseball playing. And we're going to have a good time there. And I love community stuff. You know, we started this show talking about the neighborhood, the Good Neighbor Award, and you guys are the recipients of the very first one.
Exciting.
Yay! And now, listeners, we need you to make recommendations of a good neighbor. If you have someone in your life that has done something very, neighborly, and you want to honor them, please nominate them, and they could be selected for the month of May. You guys are for the month of April. Yay!
Mm-hmm.
And as we talk about, community, and we talked about Celebrate Recovery and this wonderful program that you have where people can come, get help, get support. learn tools to overcome and really build their relationship with one another, but also with the one who has created us,
Amen.
Right?
And
that is foundational in my work in social services and human services and crisis work. You know, it's easy to deal with the symptoms. But if you don't get to the heart issues and get down into those soul issues, you really can't make those changes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about in your own life what you have seen and witnessed in your own life as these revelations have unfolded.
Yeah.
Well, so I know for me, you know, starting off, you know, so coming off of what I had going on and coming into Celebrate Recovery just broken, you know, feeling like I was going to lose my marriage, lose my job, lose my freedom and everything, you know, and, you know, justly so because of my activity, my behavior, but then pressing into, and following after the things of God, you know, rededicated my life to the Lord. You know, I've been backslidden for 15 years, you know, and so then, finding this church where, you know, the same gospel that I was raised on, the good news, salvation in Jesus, you know, but then with a demonstration, like it talks about in the New Testament, of the Holy Ghost and power, you know, and I experienced that and just saw that there was a genuine love and a concern for not just the people that are inside of the walls of the church, but, you know, outreach, people going out, feeding the homeless, people going out and on the street corner witnessing to people. You know, I got the privilege to go with Pastor to South Africa twice.
Whoa.
And the first time, and then Trina got to go with us also to Indonesia once, you know, and that was really where she was activated on the street with, you know, going and witnessing to people and then, you know, laying hands on them, praying for healing and seeing God heal people,
oh,
you know.
It's powerful.
Yeah, it's amazing, wonderful, you know, and so being able to get into service, you know, as a replacement type of activity, you know, it's just, it's so... such a blessing to be a blessing. You know what I mean? It just, I've always been a worker, but helping out, you know, and being able to bring joy alongside with, you know, not just being in drudgery, you know, of working, but of coming alongside with the joy of the Lord, you know.
And having a purpose in that.
Amen.
And it truly resonates with me, and I can see it in both of you. Mm-hmm. You're a team in this, and you have an administrative role at the church, right? Trina, you assist Pastor Lou, and you talk to me a little bit about some of those things that you get to do.
Yeah, so I am one of the administrators, and then I'm the administrator over the outreach. And so... well, I'm there all week long, so I'm just kind of, I'd love to do everything, but as far as the outreach, you know, that's my passion. Mm-hmm. You know, I love going out on the streets and praying for people, and I definitely was ignited when we went to Indonesia.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You know, just because they're so hungry, and they're, I think it's the hunger, because they're open to hear the gospel, you know, even the Muslims.
Did they put your pictures up on big banners everywhere in Indonesia? When we went to India, they did that. That was humbling. I'm like, I don't need my picture on a banner.
They did with Pastor Lou.
Oh,
because, you know, they knew that he was coming. And so, it was like...
in the churches.
Yeah, in the churches, they had
like a
banner.
Deal.
Yeah,
like you're the, you know, the special guest. So they
like
put
celebrity.
You on the banner, and we want to put them on the banner, right?
Yeah.
A lot of pictures.
A lot of... And we couldn't figure out how they found it. They went on Facebook. This is in India.
Yeah.
And they took our pictures off of Facebook and put them up there because we didn't submit these pictures.
Think,
like, how did
I
they
think
pick
they did
that?
The same thing with
it's
Pastor
kind of,
Lou.
You know, when you think about these countries that we go to minister to and we get so much back from, right, as well.
Oh, yeah.
So it really triggered something in you, huh?
Yeah.
You really got in a good way, right?
Yes. And so then we came back and we were kind of on fire and wanting to just go soul winning, you know, go out on the streets. And so we've spent, I would say, the last year going out on Saturdays at least. You know, we go to the Saturday market all summer long. And Neat. Just go minister to people. And
mm-hmm. and so yeah. the official term, a pastor, when did you all, you know, transition into that? Has that been something all along or just within the last year?
Here? Within the last 2 months.
Oh, yeah. How incredible is that?
Yeah.
Well, Terry and I, people may or may not know this, have our little minister's license, but we haven't been like in this kind of role before, but that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And so do you have other jobs other than working with the church? Do you do other things?
Well, about a year ago, it's been two years ago, I was administrator at Assisted Living Memory Care.
Oh.
And then I quit to go take care of my grandma for a couple of months. And then when she passed away, I just already knew I was being called.
Mm-hmm.
And so I stepped out of work into full-time ministry and faith.
It has been incredible, huh?
Yeah, and then Andrew.
Yeah, so I worked from when I was 21 years old. I mean, I started working when I was 10 on the farm, but, you know, went and got my associate degree in heavy equipment diesel mechanics and then went and worked for 23 years at one of the local garbage companies in town as a fleet mechanic, you know, ran the maintenance shop. And just here in November... I quit and came full time with the church.
Wow. Took that leap of faith,
yeah.
huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I bet you have an incredible story about how God has met your needs provisionally, huh?
Yeah.
It's there's nothing like it. I know I led a ministry for 13 years and I told people, yes, this is a faith-based ministry because I know what's in the checkbook right now.
That's it.
And every payday our staff, you know, God provided, and it might have been right on time, you know, never early, but it is a faith-based thing, and there's such a joy in knowing that our provision, and when we're walking in faith, the provision comes from the Lord, you know.
Amen.
And here we are, we're in what many call Holy Week, right?
Mm.
We have the Passover that just happened over the weekend, and then into Easter and Good Friday on Friday, and then Easter on Sunday, a Resurrection Sunday, many of us like to refer to it. And so are there special services going on this week at the River regards to that?
Yeah, well, I mean, so, you know, Trina's the one that does the announcements, but we literally have something going on every single day of the week.
Incredible.
Every single day, you know, Bible studies, Monday, Celebrate Recovery, the large group Monday night at 5:30 is when that is. Women's group. Tuesday.
Incredible.
Wednesday, there's choir, the Liberty First University. There's another Bible study that goes on. That's Thursday night is our midweek meeting, you know, at 7 o'clock. Friday night. Friday step study or step studies usually, but then also we are going to have a palm or whatever you call it.
Good Friday, excuse me.
Yeah, Good Friday service, which we don't usually, what we normally have been doing is just once a month, like a 6 hour prayer and worship time, you know.
Neat.
So, it's wonderful. I highly recommend that.
Yeah.
This Sunday there will be brunch at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
And then normal services at 11.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's
going to
be a skit. And the kids will be doing... You know,
kids are doing a skit.
Now, speaking of that, that's the other thing when I go into a church service. I look for people that are plugged in and how many people are involved and all of that. But I also look at the kids program because years ago I was a children's ministry leader in a church. And so I am most impressed with what you're doing with your kids. Talk to us a little bit about the ministry with children in your church.
I think the biggest thing is that Kendra... She runs it just like Pastor Lou does. You know, she's teaching the word, she's laying hands, she's praying for the kids. She's just involved, and she comes out of a brokenness, you know, and so she knows how important it is to love kids.
Yes.
And she's just a leader.
Do you have a lot of children that come to church without their parents? Like they get dropped off and that kind of thing, do you know?
There are some.
There are some, but mostly... They're
their families are grooming. Because for me, that's how my walk with God happened, is I had a neighborhood church and I just went on my own. And then years later, now my parents have a relationship with God. And it's just been kind of a cool testimony.
But
church outreach to children and planting those seeds of faith in their hearts and minds as a youngin',
you know,
really does have an impact on the whole family for generations.
Yeah, they get to lead worship even, you know, I mean, mean, they like do karaoke style, you know, worship or whatever, that they get to do that. And, and, I mean, they're,
they'll
offering messages. Right. Yeah. The kids. So the kids actually learn about tithing and about offerings and, you know, and
just a lot
of good foundational biblical stuff. It's not just in there playing games and watching movies.
Yeah.
You know, they actually are doing church in kids' church. Yeah. It's wonderful.
That's incredible.
Then the youth group, you know, for, I think it's sixth grade, 12 year olds and up to 18, I think what they are. They have a very active, there's a lot, I think they have 40 or 50 kids in there right now, that are involved with that. And they, they're active in doing stuff. We're actually getting set to bring them on board with going out and doing the outreach, training them up on doing that, you know. So we have a lot of kids within that that their parents don't come to church. You know, they come just to the youth group.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they have a great program, too. I mean, they get a lot of word in there, too.
I love it because that's really training and equipping, educating, getting them engaged in the process.
They're doers.
Is so much a part of what we're all about, and I think that's pretty exciting. We're going to continue the conversation after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. KSLM. Oh, I just love how y'all interact with me. Sending me real-time text messages. I just found out, this is so fun, I just found out that my grand treasure, my firstborn grandchild, Chloe, is listening. She's hanging out with my mom and dad, her great-grandma and grandpa, today, and she's listening this morning. Good morning to you, Chloe. I love you and miss you and can't wait to see you real soon. They're in South Dakota, of course,
cool.
And it's spring break there, so they get to hang out. I think they make cookies and does all kinds of fun things, and I'm sure my dad, Larry, and her are teasing around with one another, and then there's the dog, and they're just having a grand old time. And then I want to say hello to Walt, too. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll get Trina there a little closer to the microphone, right, Trina?
Yes.
You have such a soft voice and such a sweet spirit, and I'm so glad to have you both here. You know, one of the things I wanted to ask you about, here it is Easter, right, in the Easter week, and we're living in Oregon, and Oregon is a kind of a free-thinking state, a very pioneers-type state, right, and a very independent spirit-type state, and kind of a lot of anything goes as far as how faith is and what people believe in and all of that, but there is something very distinct about Christianity, and it really is about really discovering who we are and whose we are, right? So talk to us a little bit about how is Christianity so different, or how do people know that they're even going to heaven, things like that? Who wants to talk to me about that? I know that's a pretty loaded question.
Yeah, that's an all-day
peace.
Topic right there.
You know, by peace is a fruit of that, right?
Yeah,
to have that
exactly.
peace. Yeah.
Well, so, you know, one of the things that we love to preach is that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty or there's freedom.
Yes.
You know, and so Jesus, when he came, he opened up the scroll from the prophet Isaiah, and he said, and he read that where it said, you know, about setting the captive free, about being the one that would bind up the brokenhearted, and being the one that would call in for healing, you know, give sight to the blind.
Mm-hmm.
And so what it's about is that experience of relationship with a loving God who says, I want to restore the original plan of God and man, which was walk in the garden in the cool of the day. We talk with each other, we walk with each other, and you know my love and my provision for you. You know, and so when we come and we talk about Easter, you know, God provided his son, Jesus Christ, you know, and Good Friday, that day that he hung and died on the cross for our sins, you know, and then he was buried and he rose again the third day, you know, that Resurrection Sunday, amen, that wonderful message. And so it's about the freedom and the love that God provides through his son, Jesus Christ. There's nothing like it.
There is nothing like it. And in fact, I often say, and I've said it before, and I know our listeners have heard me say this, that Jesus doesn't clean his fish before he catches them.
That's right.
You know, and so a lot of people allow their life choices to be roadblocks to saying, God can't love me enough.
No.
That's not for me. It's fine for you, but that's not for me. And I'm telling you, when you know who you are, you're creating God's image and whose you are, there's nothing that you can't face.
Amen.
Because he's there with you and he promises never will he leave us or forsake us. No, not ever.
Right.
And as far as the east is from the west, when we come to him and repent and say, I'm sorry, I can't do this anymore. I need you as my Lord and Savior.
It.
Guess what? He says that is cast away you've repented.
Yeah. Amen.
And we can walk in that new liberty and freedom. And
Amen.
I love about the river. It's very much like my church I went to in South Dakota. There's so much freedom. People worship. They dance and flags and things. And people that aren't used to accustomed to that kind of style of worship, it is really foreign. You know, if they're a Baptist girl, I was kind of raised in a Baptist background. They're like, I don't get that. That's kind of weird. but this is how I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what they've been freed of.
That's
it's
right.
their walk.
Yeah.
And they're so thankful for the burden that's been relieved from them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And think about this. You know, we can get really, really crazy about a Trailblazers game or a Ducks game or a Beavers game and paint our face and get wild and scream and yell, or even our favorite band, you know, or our honky tonk band or whatever. How much more so for a God who's freed us from addiction and from all of this? You know, I'm just on my soapbox right here, but this is the season, friends, and this is how we can walk through difficult times that we're walking in.
Yeah.
There's a sifting going on, and we need to know why we are here at this time, and we need that strength, and we need one another, and we need to know where we stand in our faith. This is so important.
Yeah, Jesus didn't come to call the righteous; he came to call the sinners.
That's right.
You know, and when we were yet without strength. It says, you know, Christ died for us.
Yes, he did.
And so that, you know, that's that awesome thing of again, it's that provision. God has always shown that he is a God of provision, a God of love, a God of restoration. You know, it's the gospel that we have all been called to minister. We're called to be ministers of reconciliation.
Yes.
You know, that restoration of relationship.
And what better testimony than the two of you who, you know, we all know where we've been, where we've been and where we're headed, right?
Yeah.
And so he chooses to use those of us that haven't lived perfect, you know, spot-free life, right? And he chooses the perfect, too, because I know several people who have a great background, you know, and they've loved the Lord the whole life.
Right.
He needs all of us because we all have our ministry to reach to other people. And so, again, friends, I want to encourage you, you know, to really plug in and find that faith-filled family. And the River Church has been really an encouragement to me, and I'm so very thankful for all of you. How do people get more information about the river?
They can go to www.theriverNW.com. If you want events, you just /events.
Okay.
Or you can just scroll around in there. Yeah. There's all kinds of places you can go.
And you can come tonight by coming to Liberty First University. You have business fellowship. We didn't really talk about that as much now, but we'll have Pastor Lou on Friday. We'll talk a little more about that. But there's different ways, even if maybe church isn't your thing right now, that's okay. There's lots of ways you can still get engaged, because I see it as a kind of a community center, right?
That's it.
And giving back like good neighbors do, right?
Right. Yeah. This Liberty First University, it really is. We have a lot of people that are coming in already just in the first day that are people that we haven't seen before at church, you know, but they're coming because they're interested in learning about their freedom. And then the Freedom Business Fellowship also, it's not a church event.
Mm-mm.
It's a connection. We're using the building, you know, and we're there to encourage and support, you know, business owners and community leaders and everything, you know, but it's that Freedom Business Fellowship is that a place for people to come to be able to network and to be able to support each other, you know, to be able to bounce ideas off and to be able to gather that one voice, you know, that's what, you know, the vision that pastor had with that, you know, from the Lord, to be able to have fellowship with business owners and community to strengthen the community.
In this particular time, we need that encouragement and that
Amen.
Strength. I'm so thankful that you two took the time to be here this morning, and congratulations on being our Good Neighbor Award winners for the month of April.
Yay!
Looking forward to spending some more time with you and certainly keeping you in our thoughts and prayers. And again, give us the website one more time in case people want to connect, either to celebrate recovery, they want to know about services, all of those things.
Yeah, you can just go to theriverNW.com.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You can also call the church at 503-385-8721.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes.
We have Facebook pages,
okay,
you know,
and
YouTube.
Instagram.
We stream live on
you
Facebook and YouTube.
You stream your services.
That's right.
Because I was able to catch on to that beforehand. So
thank
you guys so much. God bless you. Happy Easter.
Thank you
for being a good neighbor and being here with me today. Let's do this again sometime soon, Have you back on.
All right.
God bless you. God bless you, friends. Thank you for tuning in today. Remember, we can find hope, stirring up the faith today and trusting that you have a fantastic day. God bless you, and God bless the USA.
Next to you and defend her still today. Cause there ain't no doubt.